So I've started the recorder. NTI is closed. But okay, NTI Romans 10 is on page 274 in my Kindle. You guys have the same thing in the paperback. All right, good. So here we go. Verses 1 to 4. The answer to your salvation is found within your own willingness. The power that sets you free is you. There is no power outside of you that determines salvation or sets you free. Within, your willingness joins with your own Holy Spirit, and this is the path of freedom. Together, they lead you from the forest of illusion into the sunshine of reality. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. The love of God is in you, and it is with you. When you trust yourself through your willingness, you trust the strength and power and gentleness of God to guide you from your illusions to the remembrance of truth. So, Dave, this reminds me very much of you, of what you were saying, you know, earlier before everyone arrived, about how you, you know, the insights you had about how your willingness is always here, so your relationship with God is always intact. But this is really saying that because the answer is yourself, I mean, your true self, because the answer is yourself, you're never away from it. No matter how far you think you've gone, you're never away from it. It's always right there. And the only thing that's really needed to open the door between the answer and what you perceive as you, separate from the answer, is your willingness. And it's also asking us to really trust ourselves. And this is a very interesting concept, because the ego, its primary story is you can't trust yourself. You know, you aren't working hard enough. You can't trust yourself. You know, you aren't willing enough. You can't trust yourself. You don't practice enough. You can't trust yourself, you know. I would say really learning to trust in a very, very, very deep way was one of the last things that I learned, you know, that has brought me to this current state of being fully relaxed. Because when you're not trusting, you can't be fully relaxed. If that makes any sense. There's always a fear there. Yeah, it makes sense to him. There's always a fear there. You know, my friend Laurent used to say that he could not relax his ass. You know? He said, I can't relax my ass. And I used to,
meaning his pucker factor was fine.
Yeah, his butt. He could never quite relax. And I'm sure that's because at least at that time he did not trust himself. Right? He did not trust himself. He did not trust. And by self in this case, we're really talking about not the ego. We're talking about the willingness and the truth and their connection. Right? Some people would call that grace. But grace sometimes still gives you the feeling of it's outside of you. And what this is really emphasizing is it's inside of you. And so one thing that NTI really asks us to do is to trust ourself, trust our willingness, and trust our true self, our Holy Spirit, to relax and put trust in everything. And in fact, the more that we relax and put trust in everything, the more we also let go of ego. I mean, it's simultaneous. So when you do one, you automatically do the other. The less you trust yourself and your willingness, and the more you cling to ego, right? And it's funny because ego continues to tell you, you can't trust yourself. You can't trust yourself. But if you think about it for a moment, that's a logical argument for ego if the more you don't trust yourself, the more you hold on to ego. Do you see how that's a logical argument for ego? But if you can just disregard ego and trust yourself, trust your willingness and that connection to grace or that connection to God or that connection to Holy Spirit, you don't have to understand it. You just trust it. The more that you trust, the more you let go of ego. starting with sentence 5. When you find resistance in your heart and your mind, put not your trust there. Now, what this means is, we typically do. As soon as I find resistance, I trust the resistance. You know, which means we do know how to trust. It's not like we don't know how to trust. I trust the heck out of my resistance. You know, I trust, when I hear the thought that I'm a loser, I trust that. You know, when I hear the thought I'm never going to make it, I trust that. So we know how to trust. We just have, we're just trusting the wrong thing. Yeah, yeah, so.
Well, when I want to know that that is going to be the correct answer, you know, because sometimes that comes to me, I say, okay, God, help me this. And I try to relax, and but when I try to do something, a thought comes on my mind and say, no, don't do that. Maybe that can hurt you, or maybe this can happen. Stop to do that. You know?
Yeah, I do know.
And I said, okay, now what am I going to do? I do it or not?
Yeah.
But when I'm going to know which one is the correct.
Yeah. Whenever the thoughts have a feeling of fear in them, or judgment or guilt, that's ego, and you do not need to trust those thoughts. Okay? So you kind of have to feel the thoughts more than listen to the words. If there's a feeling of fear, like, oh, you're doing the wrong thing. You know, you're doing the wrong thing, and there's a fear in that, that's ego. You don't have to listen to that. See? All right? It's just trying to pull you away from the fact that you were resting, you were relaxing for a moment, and you were trusting for a moment.
In your body, you can feel it contract, constrict, tension, anything like that, would be fear, guilt, or judgment.
Okay, so, whoops, come back to me. All right. When you find resistance in your heart and your mind, put not your trust there. When you find resistance, remember what you truly want. Rest so that resistance will pass over you. So, you know, resistance can take so many forms. You know, one form can be, I don't want to practice. I just don't want to practice. I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this, you know. And what this is saying is when that resistance comes, rest and let it pass. Now, this is one of the things that I learned to do when I started learning to trust. I would have days of strong resistance, you know, especially last year when I was in the year of silence and I was doing the 7 steps every morning. There were times when I had strong, strong resistance. And when the resistance was too strong, I would not do the 7 steps. I would rest and trust that tomorrow or the next day I would feel different. Now, there was a time before when I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would have beat myself up. You bad, bad girl. You're supposed to be doing the 7 steps. You're letting resistance get the best of you. But do you hear the judgment in that? When I learned that, today the resistance is too high, today I'm not going to do it, and that's okay. I trust this. There's a resting there. It's like you said, one was contracting and one was releasing, right? You bad, bad girl, you have to do the practice, contraction. It's okay, today it's too hard, I'm going to take today off. Relaxing. You see, and the ego, you know, the ego wants to tell you that you can't take the day off from practice because it's got you in its clutches when it tells you you can't take the day off from practice. If you take the day off from practice when the resistance is too high, 2 or 3 days later or whatever, you're naturally right back into the flow again. Yes.
I'm just going to say, because my ego would say, see, that proves you're not willing.
Yeah? See. And you hear the judgment in that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what you're talking about is letting ourselves off the hook. It's a feeling that our nature truly is good. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to discipline it with harsh thoughts.
And it's what you said before everyone else arrived. It's really trusting my willingness is always there, right? It's trusting myself and that willingness. And this day of resistance and not wanting to practice is going to pass because this isn't my true nature. And I trust my true nature more than I trust my resistance. You see how that works? And so I can just relax. I don't have to force myself today. In fact, one example that I used when I was learning this, it was about a year ago when I really learned this. I told you trust was the last thing I learned. It was about a year ago. And I remember making a post on Facebook about hiking. I said, you know, when I go hiking in the mountains, sometimes the terrain is, you know, I mean, it's going up, but it's fairly easy, and I'm hiking along pretty quickly, you know, at a very decent clip. But then what happens every now and then is you come to a really, really steep area. When I come to a really steep area, I go much more slowly, and I even stop and breathe sometimes and then get going again, right? And then when it's easier, I go faster. It's the same thing. On those days when my willingness is really, really strong, it's like hiking when it's not so steep, and you're just going, 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 going. On other days when the resistance is very strong, it's like it got really steep. So I slow down. Maybe I take a day or two off. But guess what? Ultimately, what am I still doing? I'm still going up the mountain. Right?
Actually, the attitude of forgiveness toward yourself allows you to keep moving forward.
Yes.
Because if you start pounding on yourself, that, as you said, is having faith in our ego.
In the ego.
It's going to pull us backwards.
Yeah, that's trusting your resistance. So even during resistance, even on the days when you can't, quote, make yourself do it, right? Trust your willingness more than your resistance. Is what this is saying. And those days always pass. Because you're, like you said, your willingness is always there. And you know, I think sometimes I even took like 2 week breaks. And then we get back to it. But I always trusted I would get back to it. So then sentence 8, when you find your willingness, right? So when it comes back, clasp hands with your Holy Spirit in joy. Walk forward in trust and willingness. This is your desire awakened and is leading you home. So when you're feeling willingness, that's when you're on the, you know, the faster walk, right? You know, it's not so steep. When the steep comes, you slow down again, maybe take a little break, breathe, and then it comes back, it gets easy, and you walk along. I mean, that's what this is saying. In a way, it's common sense. Just ego doesn't want us to have common sense. But this really is common sense. When it's harder, go slower, take a break. When it's easier, go for it. Right? 14 to 21. You are a mind, and this could also say awareness, with what seems to be two points of view, two possible realities to choose from. Except that there cannot be two realities. Only one can be reality, and the other must be fantasy. Both of these possible realities are in your heart now, and so you seem to waver between one and the other, and you feel torn. Do not be sad. Do not let this distress you. Isn't this movement towards the one true reality that you truly seek? Wasn't there a time that you were fully blinded by the false reality of the world? Aren't you letting go of the false reality now? There's a phase when we're awakening where we seem to be more aware of our split mind than we ever have been before. You know, it's almost like half the time we're, you know, we're feeling inspired, we're in joy, we're in the flow, right? And then half the time we're back in the shit again. You know? And you're so aware of the contrast. And you start, what the ego will do, if you listen to the ego, is you start getting down on yourself, right? And this is saying, wait a minute, look at this. Isn't this progress? Once upon a time you weren't aware of the split. Once upon a time, you lived almost fully in the wrong mind, and you didn't even know it. So if you're in the right mind enough of the time now to be aware of when you're in the wrong mind, that's progress, right? It's trying to point out to you, you are hiking up the mountain. That's why you have this different point of view now. So it feels like a very difficult time because it feels so good when you're in the flow and when you're at peace and when you're allowing and when you're inspired. And then you're back in the shit again. It feels so bad. But the truth is, that's progress. That's progress. There was a time when you didn't have that distinct right mind, wrong mind difference. It was only wrong mind the majority of the time. And everybody moves through that phase. So just realize it's progress. Peace Pilgrim talked about that. She drew a picture on the bulletin board of what she called hilltops and valleys. And the hilltops were the times when you're in the right mind, you're in the flow, you're inspired, everything's going well. And the valleys are the time when you fall back into ego. And she said, but each and every valley was important because that's where she learned her lessons. Or put another way, that's where she found another belief or another something that she had to let go of, another attachment she needed to let go of. And then she says each time the next hilltop was higher, right? Jesus, in A Course in Miracles, says you don't know your retreats from your advances. Because when we're up on the hilltop and we're in the flow and everything's going well, we think, oh, this is good. We judge it as good. And then when we fall back into the valley, into the ego, we say, oh, this is bad. But remember what Peace Pilgrim said. But what's happened is you've gone back in to let go of another part of ego, right? And if you don't let go of another part of ego, are you really still continuing the journey? No. So it's great that we feel the effects of the letting go we've already done by experiencing the hilltops. But if we aren't done, we also need to be able to find out what else needs to be let go. And that feels like falling back into ego, or that feels like a retreat, but it isn't. It's just the next step on the journey. It's a natural part of the process. Yeah. So, and as it says here, that's actually progress. You're progressing if you're in that state of contrast.
And it reminds me of what you said before, that everything that happens to us is an opportunity for us to grow and advance.
Yes.
And heal.
Yes.
Instead of seeing it as a bad time, it's an opportunity.
Yes, everything is an opportunity. Okay, so starting with sentence 10, rejoice. You are listening to me, and you are walking with me. Do not listen to the voice that would tell you that you are not. Chastisement is not of me, and I will never leave you comfortless. So it seems like the primary theme of this chapter is telling us we're spending way too much time listening to ego's assessment of our spiritual journey, ego's assessment of our willingness, ego's assessment of, you know, how well we are doing with our practice. And spirits really point out, that's not me talking to you there. You know, what are you listening to? You know, what are you listening to? You know, I'm asking you to trust, right? I'm asking you to give your willingness. You know, and so what's this other voice that you're listening to that's telling you what a lousy job you're doing? It's not me. Right? Sentence 14. I have asked for your willingness, and you have given it to me. I have asked for your trust, and you have given it to me also. You give me all that I ask, and you walk this path with me. Lift up your chin and smile at the sunshine. It is already smiling down on you through the thinning branches of the forest trees. Now, you want to hear a funny story? A year, 2 years after this was written, in fact, NTI was probably already published. In fact, I think NTI was already published. It had to have been 2008. It was when I received the guidance to move to Pueblo. I was also almost out of money at the time. I had about $10,000 left. And I know that it costs about $10,000 just to move across country. So I had this thought in the mind that it was going to take the rest of my money to move to Pueblo. I would get here and have no money, and then disaster would hit. This impending disaster that I've always feared would finally come. And I was, even though I said yes, I would come to Pueblo, and I had every intention of coming. I don't think I've ever said no to guidance, you know. So I had said yes, but I was pissed. I was pissed that God was making me sacrifice this much. I was going to do it, but I was pissed. And I felt no willingness. It was the first time in my life I felt no willingness. I was still doing it, but the feeling of willingness was gone. And I happened to listen to Jesus Christ Superstar, the Garden of Gethsemane song, where it sounds like Jesus is feeling the exact same way. Because now, you know, God is asking him to go to the cross. And he's like, why? Can you tell me why? Is it better if I die? He's like, I've done this for 3 years. Seems like 30. And then later on he says, seems like 90. You know, nobody's listening to me. Now you want me to die? You know, and he says, you know, says something like, you know, just let me see a little of your omnipresent brain. You know, like, what the hell are you thinking, God? You know, and he's, and so what I did one morning is I went out in the car. It was a rainy day, and I was really angry at God, and I went out in the car with this song, and I played the same song over and over and over again, and I felt every one of those emotions, just felt them, and cried and felt them. I must have spent 2 hours in the car playing the song over and over and over again. And one thing I kind of look up and notice every now and then not notice again. But there was a tree. I had a sunroof in my car so I could see up, and there was a tree above my car, and there was a squirrel up there that was acting rather insane. And I, every now and then I would just kind of notice the squirrel for a minute, then I'd get back into my stuff, you know, and not notice. But the squirrel, I still don't know exactly what that squirrel was doing, but he was like chewing off the twigs on the tree, and they were falling on me. So, you know, here I am going through this crazy emotional thing, and there's this crazy squirrel up there tearing off twigs, and they're falling on my car. But towards the end, when I started to get on the other side of this, and I even started to hear the part in the song where Jesus is now deciding to surrender and saying, okay, I'll do this. And I started to feel that, okay, I'll do this. I looked up, and that squirrel had made a hole in that thick tree so I could see right straight through to the sky. And by now the clouds were gone, the rain had stopped, and the sky was blue. And I suddenly remembered this, where it says, I have asked for your willingness, and you have given it to me. I have asked for your trust, and you have given it to me also. You give me all that I ask, and you walk this path with me. Lift up your chin and smile at the sunshine. It is already smiling down on you through the thinning branches of the forest trees. Isn't that cool? Just a cute little story. But yeah, and then when that morning was over, you know, the feeling of willingness came back. Obviously, the willingness was there. Even though I was pissed at God, I thought God was being unfair, asking me to make such a major sacrifice, which, by the way, was all in my mind. You guys see, I'm not starving yet. I'm about 20 pounds heavier than I was when I moved here. A little starving might not hurt. But during that time when I was mad at God and imagining this huge sacrifice and not feeling willing, I must have still been willing because I was still coming. And so that's what this is saying, is trust your willingness, even if in that moment you aren't feeling it. Trust yourself, right? Why trust your resistance? Why do we make that choice? Like I said, obviously we know how to trust. We just need to be a little more discerning in where we place our trust. So trust your willingness, trust yourself. You know, Ramana Maharshi used to always say, it'll all work out in the end, or something like that. And I think that's actually an Indian saying, not just Ramana Maharshi, right? They have a, it'll all work out in the end, and then what's the other part of it? If it hasn't worked out yet, then it's not yet the end. Yeah. Yeah, it's not yet the end.
That almost sounds like that adage that when you look, people complain that when they're looking for something, it was in the last place that they looked. Well,
they found
stop.
It.
Yeah, you're going to stop looking once you find it. So, of course,
it's always going to be the last place that you look. That's a good point. It's always going to be in the last yeah, that's a great point, Dave. You're going to stop looking when you find it, so it's always in the last place that you look. So tonight what we've been asked to do then is to learn to trust our willingness and trust ourself, meaning that inner self. And, you know, let go of trusting our resistance, which many of us do. So I think that's probably the assignment. I mean, that's what the lesson was. So I think that's probably the assignment. So the next chapter is pretty long. It's up to you guys if you want to continue. We could either do an extra long silence or we could begin chapter 11 and go for 10 more minutes. What do you guys want to do? 10 more minutes? Okay, so we'll start chapter 11. You who are reading this are the beloved Son of God, not because you are reading this, but because of your truth, which is beyond the illusion of these words. It's kind of interesting that Spirit should even have to say, not because you're reading this. Because look at that idea, I'm good, because, you know, I'm doing my spiritual study. Right? That's not why I like you, you know. It's just because of who you are. All right, sentence two, or paragraph two. You are a mind, and you are looking at thought. Right now, you are looking at thought that expresses your true desire, meaning the words on this page express our true desire. You could not see these words if it was not within your willingness. You could not understand them if they were not your truth. And you do recognize them because you know they are your heart. Behold yourself, your true desire, and your remembrance. They are reflected in the words you let enter your consciousness now. Now, this is not a small point. Everyone here is able to read NTI and understand it. But not everyone in the world can. It's not understandable to everyone. There are three men that I love very, very much. They're very close to me. They love me enormously. And simply because NTI came through me, they bought it. One is my father, one is my brother, and one is my boyfriend. Now, I don't know for sure if Ron ever opened it after he bought it, because he never had a comment. There was never even a word. I know he bought it, but never even a word of comment. My dad said he made it to about page 17, and then he fell asleep, and he never picked it up again. My brother said it's as boring as the Bible. So what this is saying to us, again, it's still talking to someone who doubts their willingness is really what's going on here. It's saying the reason that you love this book, it's not because the book is that great. I mean, Ron and Dad and Roger didn't love it. It's not the book. It's you. You know, it's you. It's your willingness, your heart, your readiness. That's why you love the book. And you still doubt your willingness. You know, saying, what's going on here? You know, look at your heart, how your heart sings when you read these words. You know, your willingness is so strong. Moving on to 7 to 10. You are willing, and you are finding your readiness to accept me fully now. If that were not true, these words would not call to you. They would not hold your interest. You would be blinded to their meaning through your own desire not to acknowledge them yet. But you are not blinded to these words or to their meaning. The purpose beyond the words is clear to you now. Their meaning, you see, is beyond the meaning of the world. And you recognize that I speak to a truer you, one who is listening beyond the illusion of the world. This one listens for you because this one is you. And like you, this one is one with me also. We are joining with ourself in the pool of these words, which speak the truth that we know and recognize. We are one. There is no separation. There is no other mind. There is only us. And this is the reflection of that thought in the world. So speaking directly to our heart here. You know, lots of times spiritual teachings speak to the ego, right?
The Course does.
Because that's really because that's who we think we are. But here, this, what we're reading right this second, is bypassing the ego. This is speaking directly to the heart. And it's saying, come on, you know this. You know this. You know this is who you are. You know this is what you want. Right? Verses 11 to 16. You have rejected yourself, meaning your true self, of course, and yet you cannot reject yourself fully because you love yourself also. This is why your awareness seems to be limited to a part instead of a whole, and this is why I am here also. The limited part that you accept as you is but a symbol of your rejection of yourself. So this is referring to the person or the personality. That's the limited self. And that person represents our rejection of our true self. And in fact, years later, when I started listening to the Inner Ramana, this was the last lesson that Inner Ramana taught me. That's when Inner Ramana taught me about the three states of mind, the resistor, the doubter, and abiding. And Ramana said that the resistor is the average person in the world today. It's a person who thinks they know who they are. You know, my name is Regina. I'm a mother. You know, I'm a spiritual teacher. I'm, you know, whatever. This is who I am. That's the resistor, because that person is fully resisting their true self by believing they're this body personality. This is saying the same thing, that limited part is the symbol of your rejection of yourself. Ramana then went on to talk about the doubter state of mind. The doubter state of mind is the state of mind that most of us on the spiritual path are on. It's when we're beginning to read and recognize truth, or hear and recognize truth. Something in us recognizes it, but at the same time, we're still pretty identified with the personality. So we think we are spiritual students learning from a master, or learning from a scripture, right? Or learning from a book. And so we're called the doubter there because, one, on the one hand, we're starting to doubt who we always thought we were, because we're starting to listen to truth, right? But on the other hand, we're still doubting that truth is our voice, because we think we're the student learning from it. So we're like doubting in both ways. We're the doubter. The third state of a mind is abiding. And abiding is when you realize these words, this is your voice. I mean, this is who you are fully. And you start just being that. Right? You start living that. So, again, I'm going to start at the beginning of verses 11 to 16. You have rejected yourself, and yet you cannot reject yourself fully because you love yourself also. This is why your awareness seems to be limited to a part instead of a whole. And this is why I am here also. The limited part that you accept as you is but a symbol of your rejection of yourself. For in knowing only that part of your mind, you in turn reject the whole. This is your rejection of yourself. But in knowing me, Holy Spirit, whether we know it in a book or know it through another teacher, right? In knowing me, you retain the memory of yourself, for I am the whole. And so you seem to have rejected the whole by being aware of only a part, and yet you have rejected nothing because you are aware of me. I am the whole, and you accept me. In fact, we love spirit. so you must accept the whole also. In other words, we've never really truly rejected ourselves. Even the idea that we've rejected ourselves is an illusion. I mean, I was telling a story today at lunch about when I wasn't on the spiritual path, but I was feeling desperate. When I felt desperate, what did I do? I prayed. See? Even somebody not on a spiritual path, you know, knows when to turn to prayer. Because we haven't rejected ourselves. Not fully, and we never ever will. Because we love ourselves, right? Verses 17 to 21. Do not fear that you have rejected yourself by rejecting the whole. Do not feel that you are guilty for what you have not done. You have always accepted me. You have always found comfort in me. I have always been with you through your true desire not to reject the whole. Therefore, I am not rejected, and you are not rejected either. We are as we have always been, and we are eternally grateful for ourself as it truly is. So again, this is even going deeper in that idea of trusting myself. You know, this is saying trust that you've never rejected God. You've never rejected God. There may be days when you look away and you get mad and you don't pay attention, but you want God there. And in those days when you realize that, you always turn back. You know, you'll never ever be separate from your true self because you don't want to be. Not in reality. It's kind of like a kid who's pretending like they've gone away to war. But does a kid really want to go to war? No, they only want to pretend. They want to be able to go home and go to bed at night and get supper and all that, right? Same thing, yes.
When I was about 10 years old, I got thoroughly pissed off with my parents. And I ran away from home in my socks. Because I walked 4 blocks and then turned around and came home. I mean, I just a good metaphor for,
yes,
you know, being pissed off with God and I'm done with you, God, but not really.
But not really. And that's what this is saying, is it's never been for real. It's never, ever, we have always wanted to remain with one with ourself. At the deepest core of ourself, that's what we want. And because that's what we want, the separation could never happen. It could never happen. We don't want it to really happen. We only want to pretend. So again, it's asking us to really trust ourselves. Yes?
Why would we even go there? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Really look at it. Why would we even choose that?
Well, I don't know, but what I do know is that we still do. I mean, like a judgment comes into the mind, yeah. and we buy it. I don't know why. I just know that we do. And what we're doing now is we're unlearning that choice. But you know, to this day, somebody cuts us off in traffic, maybe, and we immediately, so right then we're choosing to forget who we are. Why? I don't know why. I just know we do.
If that knowing is really at our core, then it just seems crazy that we do what we do.
Well,
we're all crazy.
Well, in fact, what I heard as you said that, Sally, when you said if that knowing is really at our core, mm-hmm. what I was hearing in the back of my neck was I don't want to take out the word should because people have trouble with that word. We could choose to spend more time at our core. If we would spend more time at our core and really become very familiar and comfortable with ourselves again, we would probably act from that more often and not be so quick to leave it. Yeah.
Choose again.
Yeah.
And this trust that you're talking about is a great way to do that, too.
Yes.
Didn't that bring us full circle? What was that quote you quoted, Regina, from Sam before? Something about...
Right mind.
Right action.
Right action, yeah, right mind and right action. Yeah, the right mind brings about right action, we talked about before we started the recording. So, all right, well, we ended up going 15 more minutes, but I think it was probably worth it. So the assignment is still the same. The assignment is this week, focus on trusting your willingness instead of trusting your resistance. Okay? So keep right on trusting, just trust something a little different.